Today on Real Life Radio.
Sexual sins carry a greater weight than any other sin in the Bible. It's always sad to understand this, but it seems so natural, but in truth, it's supernatural.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know that you can defeat fear with faith? If you want your life to be ignited every day with effortless faith, peace, purpose, and direction, you're going to love our current featured resource. It's called Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire. Now, Barry's infectious love for Christ shines through every page of this book. You're going to really like it. You're sure to realize that the further we stray from the Lord, the greater the turmoil, and the closer we get to Him, well, the greater the peace, the love, and joy that we have in our hearts.
It is a book that is a must read to help you learn how to share Jesus Christ with everybody in any situation. You're going to be surprised as to how easy it is to move someone just a little bit closer to Jesus Christ.
Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com and get your copy of Ignite Your Life today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Saints, Sex, and Sinners, Part 1. 1 Corinthians was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth. But now, Paul introduces a whole new section of his letter related to the issue of sexual immorality. Now, as a disclaimer, it may not be appropriate for young listeners, so please take note that if they're listening along with you, this might not be the message for them. In these next few chapters, the theme is somewhat different. It's how the church was given over to the casual acceptance of sex outside the protection of marriage. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that each of us should learn to control our own bodies in a way that is holy and honorable. God did not call the Christ follower to be impure, but to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Now, with his message called Saints, Sex, and Sinners, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
In God-ordained, God-blessed sex, there is an acceptance, there's a love exchange, there is a unity, there's a peace, there's a joy, and there's a safety that causes a marriage to flourish. Verse 20, you can write it down. Genesis 2:20 says, "So Adam gave names to all of the cattle and the birds of the air and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him." Thank God. "And the Lord caused a great deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, from Adam, he made into woman." And listen, God brought her to Adam. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father." Ah, Jesus quotes this. Interesting. Jesus believed in the Old Testament. "A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." Chapter 3 goes on and says, the very next verse, it goes on and says that Satan manifested himself using a serpent. And he basically comes to Eve and says, "What up, girl?" Adam's somewhere, we don't know where. "Has God said indeed, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Isn't it interesting that the last time you see Adam and Eve blessed before God is that they are together. And then I don't know what, Adam takes a giraffe for a walk or whatever he's doing. He's not there. And the serpent comes up. Satan possesses the serpent, comes up and starts talking to Eve and challenges God's authority. And right now in the context of sexual activity in the human life, you will either yield to God's authority or your own authority. And when you yield to your own authority, you're going to get hurt. When you yield to God and his authority, you're going to be blessed. Number two, mark this down. Sexual sins pack a greater burden. They're not only a huge weight, they pack a greater burden. sexual sin does. Look at verse 1 when he says that this sexual immorality, which is not even mentioned among the Gentiles, is that a man has his stepmother, is not even talked about in the world. That the world has a morality that the church at Corinth hasn't dealt with. Sexual sins pack a greater burden. This is freaky. By the way, the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 18, it gives you the list of what is approved sex to God. And you can read that later. But one of the verses there says, you shall not be with a stepfather or mother or sister or brother or relative. So listen to this. Sexual sins pack a greater burden, church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, I'll read it out of the New Living Translation because it's just so contemporary. Listen to this. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which belongs to Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you know that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? Isn't that a weird thing? People, oh, no, you don't. It's just for the night. It's just for the moment. It's just a thing. It's just a thrill. It's just a rush. Oh, everybody's doing it. Oh, I have this appetite. I have it now. I want to satisfy this now. Do you understand? Listen, everyone in the room knows exactly what I'm talking about. You can be a Christian or non-Christian. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You will either yield to the appetite that is yelling at you, and you will use someone under any guise, under any circumstance, to fulfill your own flesh desire, or you will resist that and take it to God. Every human being faces this. What will you do with it? We live in a world that does this. Now listen, he goes on, 1 Corinthians 6, finishing off verse 16, he says that he becomes one body with her, for the scripture says the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Verse 17 talks about a true believer. Flee from sexual sin. Run from it. Sexual immorality. Flee from it. No other sin is clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. That means, listen, you can tell a lie and survive. It's still sin, yes. But when you commit sexual sin, something happens to you in body, soul, and spirit. Why? Because it is a spiritual sexuality. You've been created in the image of God. And you and I live in a sexually charged age. Every type of sexual abuse is up, law enforcement tells us. It's increasing. Did you know that? Let me tell you something. Boy, am I going to sound like a dinosaur. The world is so stupid that the data is in front of them that when pornography became legal, abuse went up. And then internet pornography is now protected. It's a multi-billion dollar business, and the nation needs it to tax it. It needs it. The nation needs it. Our politicians are telling us, oh, we need the taxation from it. You know why we need the taxation from it? Because we don't have God anymore. So we're just of what brings in money. Oh, that makes it right. What if pornography leads to child abuse? Well, you know, the money's coming in. What if child abuse leads to a dysfunctional, destroyed next generation? Well, as long as the money's coming in, our culture is sick and out of control. It is wrong. The danger of sexual sin is that it packs a greater burden on the soul of someone. Why is it? If you think I'm making this up, if you're a humanist and you're in here right now and you think I'm making this stuff up, then why is it that you held off, or that day came when you yielded yourself outside of God's prescribed definition for sexual activity And why did you feel so bad? You're going to come back to me and say, because you rotten Christians, I had what you guys preach in my head bouncing around, and that's why I felt bad. It's your fault I felt bad about being with Bubbles at 16 out behind 7-Eleven. It's your fault. Did you know that's what's going on right now? That's what's exactly happening right now in our culture. It's the Judeo-Christian Puritanism that is causing people to have odd feelings about being liberally sexual with anybody. Even though science tells us, Dr. C. Everett Koop, remember him? He was the Surgeon General under Ronald Reagan. Listen to this. This will ruin your day. Or if you're me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't apply to my life. If you have sex with one person, their deposit of protein into your body will remain a biological chemical fingerprint in your chemistry for 7 years. Did you know that? One person. Did you have sex with somebody last week? Outside of marriage? Their chemistry is inside of you for 7 years. Going around your system, communicating to your system the toxins that were in that person's body. Did you know that? This is a dangerous time you and I live in. Oh, but you know what, Pastor? I practice safe sex activity. Impossible. You can practice the safest sex activity possible, and it doesn't protect your spirit or your emotions. And then what do you say to that? My heart is so callous and so cold, I can be with anybody I want and just move on. The words are yours. You have become so calloused and so cold that you will meet a girl someday, or you will meet a guy someday, and that's the person that you will want forever. Trust me, it's going to happen. And though you want that relationship, you will never be able to maintain that relationship. Because according to Romans chapter 1, you have received within you the due recompense of your transgression. There is an emotional, spiritual, physical effect that sexual activity does to a human being. And our kids are being lied to in our public schools. They're learning how to put condoms on at what age now? First grade, second grade, they're being taught that it's okay to have homosexual feelings towards another person. You put that in someone's head. If you tell someone, you know what? It's okay to think this or think that. You instill it. That's why the system has beat that drum into our kids' heart, because Satan's real and knocks on those doors and put those thoughts out there. And that kid now's got to deal with that thing. When a kid is young, you can suggest anything to a child. If you tell a kid, you were born to be an airline pilot, you were born to be an airline pilot, you were born to be an airline pilot, guess what the probability is that kid growing up to be an airline pilot is? Pretty amazing.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
It's a huge burden that sexual sins pack into a life. And in our age, Satan seems to be winning the war on this exposure. Crime scenes, murder scenes, abuse, all up in the area of sexual molestation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, this is heavy stuff, huh? 1 Corinthians 7, 1, now concerning the things which I wrote, that you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. He means sexually. You shake a woman's hand. Guys are wired funny, though. Let me tell you. Now I know I'm going to get one guy out of this crowd email me and say, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's because you're a weirdo. I'm talking about normal people right now. Guys, listen, guys are wired. Hey, girls, I'm going to give you some inside information. You better write this down. Because it's going to cause me, I am going to be revealing secrets of the man's domain that he doesn't want you to know. If a man sits down or shakes the hand of a woman or whatever, there is the atmosphere in a man. I'm not saying it happens every time. I'm saying the atmosphere is one that is charged, where when Paul says it's not good for a man to touch a woman, he's talking about a cuddly way, inappropriate way. or a way that could lead to thoughts. Now you say, that's impossible, because a guy, what's the stats? That out of every 60 seconds, like every 7 seconds, a man has some sort of a sexual thought, and 60 seconds, in a minute, there's X amount of, yeah, I mean, you live this data up. Guys are different. He's, hey, Leah, wow, we could be watching the baseball game, and something sexual comes screaming across the universe and hits us right in the head, and it just goes, tink. Huh? And our wives go, what is with you? You were just yelling at the umpire at the baseball game, and now you want to go wrestle? 1 Corinthians, put it back up on the screen. Watch this. Verse 2. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority, over her body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprave one another. Watch this. This is cool. It's actually scary and cool and wonderful and crazy. Do not say you have a headache every night except with consent for a time. You have to agree. Why? That you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Okay, listen, sweetie, we're going to fast and pray and seek God about an issue, so we are not going to be together physically, because we're going to divorce ourselves from any comfort like that, and we're going to seek God. Okay, I agree with you. Let's pray. Let's fast. Let's seek the Lord. Now watch this. You do that for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Look what it says. And come together again so that Satan, what? Does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. How wise is the Bible, huh? How practical is that? And then as pastors and as women's ministry, we've got women who talk to women in this church who come in and they say, my husband hasn't touched me in 2 years. So then women's ministry will come down the hallway and say, hey, Pastor Jack, what would you say about a man who hasn't touched his wife in 2 years? I would say, number one, if he doesn't have a prescribed, defined medical reason, then go back and have this woman ask her husband what his girlfriend's name is. Did you hear what I just said? I cannot tell you how many times I have been right. I had a guy tell me, I'm going to kill you, because I told the women's ministry leader, have her ask him what his girlfriend's name is. So she goes back to the counseling session and says, Pastor Jack said, when you go home, ask your husband what his girlfriend's name is. As a matter of fact. And the woman said, oh, he's not having an affair. But she went home and she did her homework. She said, what's her name? I can't believe it. Susie, how'd you know? I didn't. Pastor Jack told this lady who has me. Something's wrong. And you can bet Satan's at work. It's serious stuff. I know this kind. You cannot talk about this stuff without generating email. Okay? Just pray before you send it. Do the Ronald Reagan thing. Write a letter and then don't send it for 2 days. Reread it, because I'm going to hear it. I can feel it. And then also this. Sexual sins steal a greater piece of who you are. Think for a moment. Where did we ever come up with the idea that if I give myself to him, he'll love me forever? That came from Hollywood. When a man says, you know what, if you love me, show me. Hey, dude, if you love me, you won't put pressure on me. Read the Song of Solomon. That's an amazing book. Now, in Israel, you can't read the Song of Solomon. You know, it's in your Bible. You can't read it in Israel unless you're 30 years of age or over, because they said it's too yowza. You read the Song of Solomon, and the girl, she's so in love with Solomon, she's freaking out. And she's letting down her hair, and she says to him, you know what, you smell like the wild stallions of En-Gedi. He says to her, your hair looks like a flock of goats coming down Mount Gilead, which is very cool. We've actually seen goats coming down Mount Gilead, and it's real steep, and they're black sheep. And they go, it looks weird. It looks like wavy hair going down a mountain. It's wild. He says, your hair looks like a flock of sheep going down Mount Gilead. And she says, your thighs are like pillars of iron. Oh, hang on. She gets all pumped up. And you know what he says? Because he's a man of God. He says, whoa there, girl. He's the one. Solomon, the man, the believer says, sweetie, time for you to go home. Do not awaken love until it pleases, until the time is correct by God. Don't, that's far as we go, right there. And he's going home. I'll talk to you tomorrow. That's a real man. Imagine, any dads in here, don't raise your hand. A dad. I said, don't raise your hand, Todd. You're quick, man. A dad, if you have a daughter, okay, look, I pray for you if you have a daughter, because if you have a son, then you only have to worry about your son. If you have a daughter, you have to worry about everybody else's son. You got it? So if you have a daughter, you know, I don't care what kind of a life you've lived, you know instinctively, I'm going to protect my little girl. In fact, somebody might say, I've never owned a shotgun before, but now that she's 16, I'm going to go buy one. A father has that. But listen, how amazing would it be for a father to hear that a young man is dating his daughter, and that young man is so trustworthy that young man, if the moment or if the situation is starting to be charged, he says, now, you know what? We should end this date tonight. We got to stop, because you're looking just a little too cute. And I picked up on a few words that you just said, and I'll see you tomorrow or in the next few days. Can you imagine how safe that girl would feel? Can you imagine? In fact, if that man would exercise integrity, he would learn a character about that girl that could not be known any other way. And she would know him. Protection. But the world says, no, you know what? Give it up. The world says, kids say, my junior year at prom, that's my night. I'm going to give it up. Why? You have no idea what you're doing. The songs you listen to, they say so. I understand that. The kids around you, they say so. Can anyone relate to what I'm about to say? When I was in high school, I wish someone would have come along and said, you don't have to do these things. You don't have to do these things that people are telling you to do. You can go this way. I was longing and crying out on the inside for someone to come along and lead, and I didn't even know God. But down deep inside, you knew that you were more valuable than that. Sexual sins outside of God's prescription steals innocence, steals peace, steals self-worth, steals personal value, till the person you look at in the mirror, you hate. And it breaks God's heart.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Saints, Sex, and Sinners, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, everybody. Have you gotten dry mouth and kind of terrified when you knew you were supposed to share the Lord with somebody, but you chickened out? All of us know that feeling. And it comes from insecurity because we don't know how to say what we know, what we believe. And yet the burden is upon us to tell someone. Well, listen, you guys, my friend Barry McGuire has written the book, Ignite Your Life. And it is a book that is a must read to help you learn how to share Jesus Christ with everybody in any situation. You're going to be surprised as to how easy it is to move someone just a little bit closer to Jesus Christ. Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire. Get a copy for yourself.
Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, and get your copy of Ignite Your Life today. You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history, which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation, who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.